do anything is how you will do everything. And the lessons you learn in jiu-jitsu on the mat teach you to be a better human being off the mat. Welcome to the Jiu-Jitsu Mindset. Okay, welcome back everybody to the Jiu-Jitsu Mindset. We're excited to bring you another episode of our podcast. My name is Pete Dealey, and I'm here with my professor, Professor Lucas. Welcome back, Professor.
Thank you, Peter. Welcome back, guys. Looking forward again for one more nice conversation and bringing even more people to our jiu-jitsu community. Having fun.
Excellent. And we have we've covered, you know, some interesting topics so far. We've talked about the history, and last time we focused on something that I think is important, and that what's the beginning of this journey like? Because although it's different for everybody, I think there are themes. It's one thing if you're a five-year-old entering it, you know, your parents' experience may be as important as your experience, because if the parent freaks out, you're going to freak out. And then talk about what it's like when your body works as God intended and you bring your athleticism to it. And then, you know, maybe if you've been injured or you're older, what that's like. And I think that brings up this idea of, is jiu-jitsu just for athletes, and that do you have to be in shape to start jiu-jitsu? So maybe you're an athlete but you're not in shape, or maybe you're not an athlete and you're wondering, like, is this a place where I'm gonna be accepted, or will I be able to do it? So people walk in, nobody has to ask you, professor, if you're a natural athlete or not. You can, you know, you hold your body and you got the physique of an athlete. But that might intimidate some folks, like, well, if I don't look like the professor, in a manner of speaking, like, maybe this place isn't for me. So can you talk a little bit about the physical requirements to start your jiu-jitsu journey?
Perfect. Well, answering your first question, I would say, like, if you need to be in shape, right, to start in order to start jiu-jitsu, I'll say no, absolutely not. As we discussed a couple episodes ago, one of the main reasons that people try to look jiu-jitsu as a physical activity is trying to get in shape. So how are you gonna get in shape before you try to get in shape, right? First, it doesn't make sense. Yeah. But second, it doesn't matter much. Okay, it doesn't matter much your background in different sports about, like, cardio and strength and things like that, because jiu-jitsu is something completely different than other sports. Yes, being athletic, being coordinated, having good mobility, have the smartness for physical activity will definitely help you, but you don't need to be like that, right? In order to start jiu-jitsu, maybe your progress will be faster for one type of person, a little bit slow for the other person, but you definitely don't need to.
So I'm certainly not an expert in jiu-jitsu history, but I mean, when I listen to the stories of jiu-jitsu and jiu-jitsu history, I mean, in terms of physicality, as I understand it, like, Helio Gracie, one of our great jiu-jitsu masters of the past, was not like a super healthy, strong, fit athlete, as I understand it, as he became the, you know, I've heard him described as like the Albert Einstein of jiu-jitsu. I mean, could you, maybe you're not a terrific athlete, you're looking at this and you're wondering, it's jiu-jitsu for me. Could you maybe use Helio as an example of, like, a person that might not have the greatest athletic gifts who became a great jiu-jitsu?
Yes. Back in the day, I think it was around 1920s or even a little bit before that, doctors on that time said that Helio couldn't do any physical activity because he was so fragile. And he maybe became one of the most important figures that jiu-jitsu has, right? So with that being said, you can see that jiu-jitsu will help you to get in shape.
Right.
But that's not the most important part of jiu-jitsu. Mm-hmm. right? The technique and your pace, your mindset will dictate how much in shape you need to be
right
for a jiu-jitsu fight, right? Over time, not just your jiu-jitsu shape get better, so you're going to be more resistant, you're going to be able to do all the rounds and everything else that you're proposing to do, but at the same time, you're also going to be fighting smarter. We will expend way less energy to do the same movement, right? You're going to be moving a little bit ahead, you're going to be heavier counters and everything.
Yeah, so I mean, I think without a doubt, like as you go along, your relationship to the movements of jiu-jitsu will change, because things that you might have to struggle to achieve in the beginning become different. And I think when we talk about Helio, what I hear you saying is like, here's a man that his physicality didn't speak to becoming a great champion. Like he didn't have the body, the natural body that someone, when they looked at him and said, okay, you're gonna be one of the great jiu-jitsu players. Or, you know, jiu-jitsu masters, whatever would be the properly respectful term. So, and when you talk about like, well, getting in shape to come participate, like if you're listening and you're saying, well, I'm not really in shape, I can assure you that in all the ways in which you will go train yourself, if you go to a gym and you look at all these machines or you look at the barbell sets and you're going to find your fitness in there versus coming to the mats where you're going to be surrounded by other people who are going to be talking to you, where you'll have a natural motivation to move your body and all that. It's going to be a lot more fun if you're looking for a way to just get in shape than you will if you go to just a, you know, a Globo gym looking to, you know, get on the treadmill, lift some weights, use machines.
Sure.
Even if you have a workout partner, you know, which many people don't, I mean, that's kind of a boring route versus, I don't know. I mean, so in getting in shape in the jiu-jitsu world, professor, I mean, is the role of the community, I think, is important in getting people to persist and all the rest of it. I mean, would you say that that's part of the development of a person, like getting to know people?
Yes, absolutely. Being able to train someone in the most intimate way as possible.
Right.
Right. Being close, being grabbing each other, being resisting against each other and laughing. Right. How many times have you seen that?
Yes.
Being,
right.
Getting choked or choke someone and just laugh after, like, oh my God, how you did that? Right. So interesting on the technique way of the position. Right. And what you're saying about the gym, if you go to lift weights, if you're going to do, if you're running a treadmill, after 10 years running a treadmill, you're going to be exactly the same place. You might be a few pounds lighter.
Right.
10 years doing jiu-jitsu, you might be a black belt after that. Like, how fun is that, right?
For sure. Yeah, and although those people, when I look at the folks that have known each other in the jiu-jitsu community over time, this friendship seemed to be, you know, different than other types of friendships, for exactly what you were saying. I mean, to have a physical relationship with someone where there could hurt you but don't hurt you is a type of trust that isn't present in a, like basketball, right? I mean, if someone elbows you, that's an accident that could create an injury. But we're like learning, okay, this, if I wasn't careful, this could break a limb or this could choke a person. I mean, that, first of all, I think there's endorphins, that there's chemicals that are released in the body that are stress, like you're getting stressed, but you're safe. And so in my mind, like your body is getting stressed in a safe environment, and that is improving your overall fitness. Now, I'm not a doctor and I'm not a physician, so I'm not offering this from a doctor's perspective. But I do believe that in terms of getting in shape, you're gonna move in ways you never moved before. You're gonna get to know people in ways you never got to know people. And you're going to put your body in what feels like danger, but you're not actually in danger. And I think that that improves your health. I mean, what do you think about that idea?
Yeah, I think you're learning something as you're doing a physical activity, right?
Right.
And I don't want to compare with different physical activities, but you're working your mind way more than your body.
Yes.
Like we used to say in jiu-jitsu, is a human chess.
Right.
Every step, every grip is well pre-planned and thinking what's going to come next until you have the checkmate, which will be the submission, right? And when you get people like on the same maybe skill level in jiu-jitsu, both of you guys, when you're a training partner, will be struggling together. And that's what brings people together, right?
Right.
On the worst, on their very worst, you can see jiu-jitsu, you can see people in jiu-jitsu on their very worst version. Someone mm-hmm. that is really aggressive on the moment that maybe you grab the gi a little bit harder or the elbow maybe gonna slip on their face, they will react on their very worst right away.
Mm-hmm.
So you can know people sometimes even better than friends that don't know each other for years and years.
Yeah, that's right? Interesting.
And you can have a conversation about that. Hey, look, this happened. Let's try to change the angle here and let's make sure we're going to expose on this, on that. And then you have this trust with each other.
Yeah. Right?
Not necessarily you guys are going to be best friends and hanging out all the time, but once you see each other, you know you're going to have a hug, you're going to have a fun, you're going to have a good training, someone that's going to challenge you.
Right.
And we appreciate that.
Yeah. And so if you're listening and you feel like you would like to be in better shape before you start your jiu-jitsu journey, I think it's worth considering having jiu-jitsu be the path that you use to improve your physical life, because it will be more interesting, and things that are more interesting, we generally stick with the things that are fun and interesting versus the things that are boring. And so if you're, you know, not in shape and you want to get in shape, it's worth it to add that to your motivation to try jiu-jitsu. If you are in shape, fighting, sparring.
You're still going to feel that you are out of shape.
You are going to.
If you're not in shape, you're still going to feel that you're not in shape.
I will contend that like it's because your experience is different than, say, running, or that you feel under threat, right? Because we're trying to submit somebody, so that's like somebody's trying to impose their will on you. That creates an emotional response, and I think it takes a long time. It's taking me a long time to try to relax in that environment. And so, if you're in great shape, yeah, you're probably, you know, there's probably some advantage to it. But I promise you that you will find other gears in your physical ability that you didn't know you had.
Weird that it will sound what you're going to say. None other activity will help in jiu-jitsu unless you already trained jiu-jitsu. I don't know if that makes any sense, but...
Yeah, say that again so people follow what you... Yeah. Okay,
so no other activity will help you to get in shape for jiu-jitsu unless you're already training jiu-jitsu.
Right.
How many times, Peter, you saw... Well, you guys have that version of Peter being... doesn't move well and this and that, which is not true. But Peter, who's a soccer athlete, he played soccer in college, he did CrossFit for many, many years, such a great knowledge, coordinated and everything else, right? It doesn't matter if you did an Ironman, you're going to be tired in 2 minutes of sparring.
Right.
You can swim 2,000 meters or how many... miles, that means, I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Every day, you're going to be tired after 2 or 3 minutes of the first round sparring.
Right.
It's just different. It's the same way. It doesn't mean that you do 10 rounds of 10 minutes in jiu-jitsu that you're going to be able to run a marathon.
Right.
Every physical activity have their specification. But if you're already doing jiu-jitsu, yes, the run going to help you as long as you know how to run.
Yeah.
The swim. The workouts, the CrossFit, everything else will fall in place for you getting a better shape for jiu-jitsu.
Yes. And I mean, this leads us into a territory that I feel really strongly about, but it's a little bit, you know, not everybody thinks of it in the same way. But for me, health and, you know, being strong is about the integration of your body's physical gifts being developed, but your mind's gifts being developed, and your spirit's, you know, the spiritual part of you being developed as well. And so you'll get tired because it's physically demanding and there's an emotional component to it. And as you get better, your mind will engage your body differently. And, mm-hmm. and this will be, not everybody will believe me as I'm about to say this. I like to play chess, but my chess, my actual chess has improved as I've continued my, and so I found that interesting. And then the spiritual component to it, because it's a dynamic between two human beings that requires trust and requires a sensitivity to the other person. You know, I one of my real pleasures of learning jiu-jitsu has been the experience of, you know, these really strong people, these really skilled people, respecting what I can and can't do, because there are certain things and my joints will only go to certain ranges and so on and so forth. But but it's been a spiritual development to be in the presence of people who are interested in pushing to the extent that we can both go, so we both learn, but never crossing the line into, you know, needing to prove that they can break my shoulder. You know, I mean, there's no, not had anything along those lines. And that for me is a way in which jiu-jitsu has been a spiritual way to develop my spirituality as well. Hicks and Gracie talks a lot about that as well.
Yes.
I mean, you've been exposed to so many jiu-jitsu athletes in your life. I mean, do you find that to be a theme among jiu-jitsu folks as well?
Yes, 100%. That's the way how you start to talk about that on the beginning of our conversation here today was perfect. It's not just it's fun, it's challenging. You have a level of trust with your training partner. You are training your body, physical activity, and you are training your mind and spirit. That's it.
Yeah.
What else can you ask, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's some part of the premise, I think, of our podcast here. One of the things that, you know, why you and I are spending time talking about this is that, you know, that expression that we've used a bunch of times, like jiu-jitsu is for everybody. The reason why, what that means to me is that, you know, we talk about lessons on the mat, our lessons, our life lessons, and that you can learn things in your development of jiu-jitsu that you can take everywhere. And so for me, we talk about, like, you know, strengthening your mind, strengthening your mental toughness, strengthening your compassion and your ability to be sensitive to other people and keep them safe, even when you had the choice not to.
Yes. I agree with everything you were saying, Peter, and I will add this also. Jiu-jitsu will help you on be able to read body language better. Right, because in order to do a move, you might need to readjust, re-angle your body before you do that move, right?
Right.
But translating this out of the mat, we all know that the first rule in a self-defense is be aware.
Right.
And you start to understand, you look around, you look what type of right, if you are in a discussion, you can see the intention of that person want to have a fight with you or not.
Right.
For the way how they talk, for the way they present themselves, for the way they start to move the arms and everything else. Because in jiu-jitsu on every day, we are leading with that during sparring and techniques and everything.
Right.
You can read someone like in a body language way better than before, right? And that will give you that sensitive, will give that spiritual knowledge and being more secure, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, when I today was a no-gi training day, and I was particularly outclassed today. I'm not a very good no-gi sparring partner to my folks. But in the conversation I was having with my training partner, Andrew, who was just terrific, super strong, you know, bigger than me, but was very patient. And, you know, we had this conversation of jiu-jitsu being a game of reactions, and that, you know, how I moved dictated how he moved. And that if I was going to get better, I would need to be able to have that understanding that, like, this is the way to counter the movement of my, but you can only develop that when you can be relaxed because you're not going to think in a stressed mindset. And so we began this podcast in that one of the primary virtues of learning jiu-jitsu is to be comfortable while you're uncomfortable.
Correct.
And so, I mean, yeah, would you agree with that? I mean, that I think has a lot of carryover outside the mats. Like in this dance of life, you know, being sensitive to other people's movements, you know, both physically, but then, you know, their movements psychologically and so on and so forth. I think it's just important how we develop as a person. Like, how do we...
Did you allow yourself to learn?
Right.
And that's the only way you relax, and it's hard, right? Not saying that you need to remind yourself a lot of times, to relax and be able to feel. And feeling is something really hard to teach, because the way how we feel things is different than you feel.
Right.
But if you try to put yourself on that position and allow yourself to feel your emotions, feel the reaction, feel the movement, feel the intentions of on that situation, your training partner, right? Relating this to your life. And this will just make your journey not just way more fun, but way longer.
Right.
But like if you do that, coming back on our topic on being shape, you will save a lot of energy doing that.
Right.
Right. Instead of being just reacting all the time and fighting for every inch, maybe you don't need to fight for every inch. Maybe you don't need to expend energy on that grip. Just let go.
Right. Yeah. I have to say, like, when I watch you or, you know, or even like Coach Scott, Coach Andrew, Professor Tom, like that you guys are moving gracefully and thoughtfully. And there's not this, I don't observe like a real frenetic movement. And when I, you know, watch myself, I'm tense and I'm trying really hard and it looks like I'm trying really hard and all of that. And what it appears to me is that as you develop that physical vocabulary, your brain is no longer governed by your emotional body, right? Like if somebody does something in the moment, puts you at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
You guys seem very calm about it. Like you just, okay, now I need to react to this and adjust. I mean,
is it constant training, right? Like be calm under the storm there, because not always you're calm as it looks like, but try to, right? You try to, like you were saying, comparing you with a chess mat.
Right.
It would be you're moving yourself and try to think on what your partner will be able to do to not allow you to do that. And if had the counter, already have the counter for the counter.
Right.
Constantly thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I translation of that calmness and that like into graceful movement, I think is what many people aspire to in life, right? Is that they want to go through their life with a certain effortlessness, right? That their movements are not strained, and instead they move with certain fluidity. And the older that I get, the more I understand like strength coming through being able to be flexible, both literally and figuratively, rather than muscle bound and that, you know, and tight. And so that being relaxed, that quality of relaxation seems to be an important component to high level jujitsu.
Yeah. Remember that no one has nothing to prove. Right.
Right.
And especially talk about the beginners, the new beginners that are aspiring themselves to try jujitsu. You don't have anything to prove. Maybe you might need to take some breaks during your first class, during your first week, second week. Guarantee those breaks will be less and less and less, right? You start to get in that jiu-jitsu shape that we're talking so much here.
Right.
It's not better than anything else. It's just different.
Right. Yeah. So if you're listening and you want to be in better shape than you are, you know, maybe you were in shape and then you got out of shape, or maybe you've never been an athlete and you're just looking for a way to become athletic. I think you're really going to be pleased when you try jiu-jitsu that you're going to find yourself engaged both mentally and physically, all the things that the professor and I are talking about. And then if you're an athlete and you want to become a great athlete, that integration of how your mind and your body, and, you know, for me, it's, you know, includes your spirit, that integration, it's hard to find places to where you can develop those at the same time. And I think that jiu-jitsu is unique in that. So if you go and you watch a class, you got to be careful not to identify too strongly with anybody that you see, not be intimidated by the folks that are obvious natural athletes and got those great abs and whatever. and then you might be surprised with someone who doesn't look like they'd be a natural athlete, but actually move terrifically well because they've been training over all these
years. What was your first impression, Peter, when you started, and how good in shape were you on that time, and Do you think it make any difference on the way how you learn, how you process things? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So if you were, so I'm 51, I'll be 52. And when I think about that, we talked about the first 4 weeks. And when I think about the physicality needed, my opinion is that your experience is going to be much more emotional and mental than physical. So in whatever condition you are, expect your enjoyment to be governed by your, and so if you come in and you're expecting it to be easy and natural and not like, I don't think you're going to like it whether you're in shape or not. And if you come in with the disposition that, hey, I'm going to learn something and it's going to take me a while, you'll enjoy it. I had enough, I think, physicality to take away like some of the anxieties of like, can mm-hmm. I get through the warm up? Right. I mean, because you can be out of shape enough to be like, well, the first 5 minutes when we're warming up, that's going to be an issue for me. And yeah. I think that the culture of the gym is that we're all okay with that. Like wherever mm-hmm. you are, come on in. And I think that the jiu-jitsu community attracts those type of folks. So if that's an issue for you, then let that be fine. I promise you, 3 times into the, you know, you're going through the warm-up, it's going to be okay. So I agree with you in that if you're in shape and all, it just makes other things easier. There's no argument about that.
Yes.
But I think just to be, for the folks that may not be like that, it's no reason to stay away from the mats. I mean, that's kind of how I feel about it.
No, take your time, take your breaks, and little by little, we're going to have less breaks to take and just going to start having more fun. And again, find a good place, right? Find a good place where you're comfortable to do that.
And the parents of, let's say you're the parent of a kid their athletic, life is around video games, and they're not, they haven't been gravitating to outdoors and all of that stuff. And so maybe you're worried like, well, what's going to happen to my kid if I bring him in there and they don't have an athletic background like the other kids. And maybe they're don't have a body like some of these other kids. What do you think about those? What should a parent be thinking as it relates to those type of children?
Well, I guess first is like, try to make their kid doesn't look like them, right? For the worst that it sounds, but I have the feeling sometimes that when you have a parent that has not been around physical activity, mm-hmm. and I'm not talking about being shape or not, like looking good, looking strong right. or not, like being coordinated, you feel the way how the person walks, never did anything in life.
Right.
It was just like sitting, computer, video games. And sometimes for the feeling that I have, for those people, when you see us like working out so hard and struggling, right? And almost it looks like that you were suffering there on the mat, but we know that we're having a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It's also like sounds like wrong for them. That's right. the feeling that I have. Mm-hmm. Right. And for a kid, when they have a kid that are in a class like that, we should keep sending messages all the time during classes. Like, why are we doing that?
Right.
Right. Like, guys, we are a team here. Let's go. Everyone can do that.
Right.
Like, no one stop. If one stop, everyone is doing it again. Not in a punish way, but have to have a sense of be part of something bigger than themselves.
Yes.
Right. Make the kids and make who else is doing the class believe that something is good, that is something good for them.
Right. Yeah, I have to say, I mean, if you're a parent out there and you have a kid that's just never been interested in athletics and they, for whatever reason, jiu-jitsu has caught their eye, or, you know, they're willing to try it because you've suggested to them. You know, I have an opinion that to be a happy person is to be an integrated person, which is that you're trying to develop parts of your physical life, you're trying to develop your intellect, you're trying to develop your spiritual life. And so they need a vehicle to develop their relationship to their body. Mm-hmm. So if you got kids and And, you know, video games is really where their attentions have purely been, and they haven't had a chance to get to know their own body. I can't think of another place that they can develop it in quite the same way.
Yes.
So, yeah, if you're a parent, when we talk about, like, do you have to be in shape? Like, no. And if you have a child and that child has never been physical, you can begin them on a road that hopefully lasts them their whole life of never forgetting that they have a body, right?
Yeah. I mean,
a lot of people sit at desks all day,
yes. You know,
that hurts your body, right? You have to, yeah. It has to move.
It is. We are a machine, right? We're born to move, to do physical right. activity, and more, the community is just like doing less and less.
Right.
And you see so many diseases related to that.
Yes.
Right. So we need to move. We need to find something that you like to do. Start like that, right? Like, for more basic, it is like just move, just go for a walk, and later go for a run, start a martial art, you need to keep active.
Yes.
It's important for your physique, of course, but it's important for your soul. It's important for your relationships.
Right.
It's just a winning relationship.
Yeah. Well said. I mean, I couldn't agree more. Well, in the development of our podcast, Professor, I don't think that people can only listen to you and I. I think we're going to need other voices in here, right? I mean, as charming as you may be, we are going to need some other people to come in here.
Yes.
And in our community, we have a bunch of fascinating people. And one of my favorites is Professor Tom. And we're going to have him on shortly. And Tom, you know, he's a great reminder to me that when I use age as a crutch for why I can't do things, you know, I'm older than Tom, but not by that much. And granted, he's a better athlete, stronger guy, but we're not so far apart in age that he moves terrifically. Tom is
great to have Tom being part of that. Professor Tom, recent black belt, being trained just for so long, and not just he's a great jiu-jitsu player, but a great human being. So,
yes.
So successful in his life, right, on what he's decided to do. And he's going to be talking with us soon, and it's going to be a fun conversation, because Tom definitely going to have a lot of positive things to bring to the table and make us questions, right, sometimes.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite things about Tom is that his development as a human being is evident in how he carries himself. Like, when you look at Tom, you know, this is a mature man. Like, this is somebody who's, you know, thoughtful in the way he carries himself. He's thoughtful in the way he talks, and the way,
yeah.
And, you know, he's had a ton of responsibility in his life. And he leads an extraordinary structure in our community. We live in Chandler, Arizona. Tom is the fire chief. He's, you know, he has pressures that I don't think many people can understand unless you've been, you know, responsible for something
right.
so important. And so I'm really, I mean, one of the, I know you're going to have your questions. I'm really interested in, like, how jiu-jitsu affected him as a leader, because he's, you
sure.
know, he's led so many important things. He's been in the military. It's going to be fascinating.
Yes, how agree. I think that's going to be a great, great question, for a great topic for we talk and listen him. And also, I want to know almost like degrees of leadership, right? Like, mm-hmm. compare with always making a parallel with jiu-jitsu. How did that help him escalating for something, for the highest position that he
right.
can ever had in such a young age, right? For that position.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Like, he's achieved so many things in his life. And you know, he's been with you a long time. You were the person that made him a professor, right? I mean, you were the one that you granted his black belt. But I know his journey carries with it. He's been, what, 13, 14 years into his training.
I'm pretty sure he's around that. Yeah, maybe. I think so. I would say almost 15 years, maybe 13 to 15. You're going to correct us for sure, but I think it's something around that.
So for those of you listening, we'll have some new, there'll be a different tone, because we're going to add a third voice into our conversation. So we'll have a little variety on our podcast. We'll invite others to the future podcasts as well. So thank you for your interest in us. It's important to us that you know, we embrace everybody that is interested in jiu-jitsu that hasn't tried jiu-jitsu. So if you're on the sidelines and you haven't given a class a chance, we hope that you do some research and find a place to go give it a shot. If you're in Chandler, Arizona, Professor Lucas isn't hard to find. So in your research, you're going to find us as well. So Professor, thank you again for another great episode.
Thank you so much, Peter. Thank you for having me. Thank you everyone that have been listening to us and make Peter's words my words. Just looking forward for everything that has to come. And see you guys next week.
All right, we'll see you next week.